A special focus on Left, Right and Center tonight. Deaths in chains. Accused dying in police custody, particularly in high-profile cases that involve public sentiment. Take the case of what happened in a small village in Assam today. The man accused of raping a minor girl died when the police took him to the crime scene. The police say he jumped into the pond where he allegedly brutalized a young girl. Many hundred kilometers away in Tamil Nadu's Krishnagiri, the prime suspect in the rape of a 14-year-old girl and sexual harassment of at least a dozen others at a fake NCC camp died in a government hospital. While in the custody of the police, two rape accused have died. The police say in the Tamil Nadu case that it's a case of suicide. In such barbaric crimes, where exemplary punishments should ideally be handed over, are such deaths in custody a mockery of real justice? As families wait for the truth to come out, the law fails to take its course, dealing a severe blow to a fair investigation and stymieing rightful protests and outrage that would otherwise ensure real accountability. Government data, in fact, reveals an alarming trend of custodial deaths across states, particularly after 2021. On Left, Right and Center this evening, we ask, is this fast-track justice or a travesty of law? Joining me on the panel this evening, I'm being joined by Shazia Ilmi, spokesperson of the BJP. Also with me, Bhavya Narasimhamurthy, Congress spokesperson from Karnataka. Harish Mohammed Ibrahim, political analyst who supports the DMK, is also with us. And Ravi Kant, a lawyer and a child rights activist. And Sanjay Sahai, a former top cop. Thanks all very much for being with us. Shazia Ilmi, going across to you first. The Chief Minister of Assam, Mr. Himanta Biswa Sarma, said that there's zero tolerance as far as crimes against women are concerned in Assam. Is this the idea of zero tolerance?
No, I don't believe in... I believe in the rule of law, and everybody does. And the state, whether it's the states or the centre, should be seen as totally responsible for ensuring justice. Not just that, there are three wings that we have, and the judiciary particularly... There might be lacuna there, there might be delays in the way things happen. But the fact of the matter is that there has to be justice done in the way rule of law is instituted. So I would like to say that if 40...
All right, we'll try and fix that video with you, Shazia, because you seem to have a bad network. I'll come back to you. But Mr. Narasimhamurthy, you know, going across to you... Bhavya Narasimhamurthy is also with us. You know, what happened in these cases, in Assam as well as Tamil Nadu, we have seen that custodial deaths, custodial killings have been on the rise since 2021. And this has been the case across states, whether it's Gujarat, whether it's MP, even in opposition-ruled states, Bengal has seen a sharp rise in custodial deaths as well. The law fails to take its course. So there should be actually nobody sort of championing custodial deaths and calling it fast-track justice at all.
Yeah, of course. First, as a woman, it's really very traumatic. I'm sure I'm speaking for all the women out there. It's very traumatic to see and read about rapes and the brutality against women every day in news. Yes, we are all very angry. Yes, the whole, you know, any civilization should be angry against these, you know, rapes and the brutality or violence against women. But this extrajudicial killings, they are only going to lead to anarchy. How? There's a reason why we have law in place, right? These people, whether on social media, appreciating this kind of extrajudicial killings, that's not going to really help. Why we have this, like, police can only arrest someone who is being accused. And only a court can punish them. Police people are not supposed to punish them at any cost. And yes, you know, and first, the guilt has to be proven. And it's up to the court whether they want to give them life imprisonment or hang them to death. Yes, it's up to the court.
But
and everybody would wish that,
where,
you know,
in cases where
that
we
the court
see custodial
give them the harshest
deaths,
punishment.
You know, the police, in a sense, fail to produce the accused safely before
yes.
the court, which is its constitutional
duty. There are two
duty.
Cases that
That's
we
an important
spoke.
Point. But Harish Mohammed Ibrahim, come in on this. Because, you know, what happened in Tamil Nadu, it was an absolutely shocking incident where so many minor girls were assaulted. They were sexually harassed inside a fake NCC camp. And this, you know, there had to be some sort of a fair investigation as far as this case was concerned, and the Tamil Nadu police clearly failed, you know, in ensuring that fair investigation. In fact, they have said that this is a case of suicide, but there are many unanswered questions.
No, not at all, because during the arrest itself, when the accused was nabbed, he was having a poison while he was trying to flee, and while he was arrested, he was being directly taken to the nearby hospital, Salem Government Hospital, for where he was being treated for eating a rat poison. And this is not the first instance. He has some personal issues. And by July 9th, he was being admitted during the same kind of rat poison eating. And he was being admitted to the nearby hospital by then. And he was being discharged. But when this fake NCC camp, which has been brought down to books, this guy was been doing the same thing, and it was been reported by the Nam Tamilar Kachi's president, Mr. Seeman, in his press conference. He was been stating that this guy, this accused, have been already sent a letter to him, his party president, stating that he has been nabbed for this accusation and he is proven guilty and he has his consciousness and he was going to commit a murder. He was going to commit a suicide. This has been the letter sent by the same accused, which has been revealed by Mr. Seeman in a press conference. So we have to rule out entirely that this is a police judicial, custodial death in first place. And where as a Tamil Nadu as a state is concerned, where the judicial has its own precedence and there is no point of taking brutal police force into custodial death will never ever happen in Tamil Nadu soil, where this is a rule of law. The government runs with rule of law and they make sure each and every culprit bring to the justice and the justice delivered in the proper course of action. And nowhere there is a point here in this custodial death. It is not pure case of any kind of harassment, any kind of injustice.
No, of course not. Nobody is insinuating that this is a case of harassment, but I'm saying it's the police's duty to make sure that the accused is produced before court. Okay, I'll come back to you. I see Shazia Ilmi back with us. Shazia, my question to you was that Himanta Biswa Sarma, the chief minister of Assam, said that we have zero tolerance when it comes to crimes against women. But is this the idea of zero tolerance? Because, you know, this in no way ensures justice to the victim or the victim's family.
No, sure, but there should be fear of law. And if the fear of law is such that the person realizes that if he's caught by police, he will not be spared, and that prompts him to commit suicide by consuming rat poison, I think that kind of fear is important. I'm not justifying it at all. I believe completely in the rule of law. The job of punishing culprits has to go through the judicial processes. But if the fear of law is such that he would not be spared and he consumes poison, then it's all the more reason that there is something happening in the state which ensures speedy investigation and tough investigation, which fills the culprit with fear.
Because but many would argue, Shazia, that this in a sense dents the credibility of the state police, given the fact that they could not ensure that the accused, who has not been convicted yet, but that the accused is not safe in police custody. Because how will the investigation unfold? How will the truth come out if the investigation does not even take place?
Medant, I don't know the details. I don't know whether he was already in custody or while he was on the run, he jumped into the pool. So I don't know. If he ran away, if he ran away from the custody, or that is a very serious matter. But if before being in custody, if he was on the run and then jumped into the pool, then in the pond, then it's a different story altogether.
Right. No, but it was very much when the police took him to recreate the crime scene. But Sanjay Sahai, former DGP, is also with us. Mr. Sahai, you know, recently the UP police also came out with a new set of guidelines ensuring that custodial deaths are prevented. Because as the UP DGP said, that this in a sense tarnishes the credibility of the police and also in a sense is dereliction of duty. Because many would say that it is, and in fact, it is a constitutional duty of the police to make sure that the accused is produced before court. Because, you know, the accused, of course, also has a right to be produced before the court, but at the same time, it also deals a severe blow to the investigation.
See, we have been in a messed up state of mindset for at least a couple of years, where people have not been able to differentiate between different types of justice.
Hmm.
And given our constitution and our democracy and our criminal justice system, we have only one system of justice. There are no two systems, three systems of justice. And as we have been narrating since 2021, there has been a difference in the thought processes. And on the ground, custodial deaths have taken place. Now, with the custodial deaths which have taken place, any inquiry into it or a judicial commission would very clearly clarify as to whether it has been a custodial killing or a custodial death. We need to differentiate three things. One is custodial death, and another is custodial killing, which might also include encounters, as we call it.
Yes.
Encounter has become a sort of a term which primarily in common understanding means that police kills the accused in cold blood.
Hmm.
Whatever drama might be created for it, but the general understanding, the people even talk about it, uska encounter kar dega. So custodial death is when the person is in police custody or in judicial custody. A death happens. It can be for a variety of reasons.
Right.
It can be a heart attack also. It can be for a variety of reasons. What we are talking today, to best of my understanding, is while being in police custody, either that fellow is killed, pushed to killing, or we have not fulfilled our responsibility of providing him sufficient protection, and we having, or the police having, taken all the necessary precautions that the person is not able to commit suicide, or he is not able to escape, or he is not able to land in a situation where he jumps in a pool.
Yes, so that's an important point you're making. Even if the police or the state is not complicit in the custodial death, the fact that the police failed to provide the necessary conditions for the accused to be safe is also something that needs to be looked at. And Ravi can't come in on this, because I also want to approach this story from the victim's perspective or from the victim's family's perspective. You know, given the fact that we are in a state where there's no fast track justice at all, we see cases lying in fast track courts for years, and there is no conviction, there is no justice. As a victim's families, and in many cases the survivors, await justice, what do custodial deaths really mean for them?
See, I have a different perspective because in these two instant cases, we don't know the circumstances, and therefore it is very difficult to comment on that. Also, we all believe in the rule of law. Having said that, I would also like to bring to your attention, as part of our Access to Justice initiative, we work across the country and we are seeing long judicial delay. You have to understand the mood of the nation. The nation is very angry. And in spite of the various legislations which happened during the Nirbhaya and then various Supreme Court orders, we are still seeing long judicial delay. It is time that the judiciary should introspect as to why these delays are happening. People are losing faith in courts. People are wanting instant justice. And still there is no movement. We are still seeing 2 years, 3 years, POCSO cases taking time. The victims are not getting compensation in time. In many states, it's happening. Though the central government has initiated the fast track scheme, we are seeing very slow process in the judiciary as well as in many state governments. This is a thing which will trigger instant justice. And therefore, we have to introspect. We have to see, because victims just can't wait for a long, long time. And it gets frustrated. I have seen several hundreds and hundreds of victims who have not yet got compensation. They are being frustrated. They are facing long trial, and they have called to the court several times. There is so much to be done in the judiciary that it becomes imperative on the judiciary when it analyzes role of the law enforcement agencies, when it analyzes at the Supreme Court level, the role of different stakeholders. It's high time that the judiciary
so
also
that's very
needs
well
to
put actually, because we see that the conviction rate is so low. The conviction rate is so low, and perhaps this is a fallout of that as well. Though, of course, you know, this kind of instant justice is no alternative to making sure that there is a better conviction rate. But Shazia Ilmi and Bhavya Narasimha Murthy, I want both of you to come in on this, and later the DMK supporter as well. But Shazia, you know, we see that very often politicians hail instant action, whether it's bulldozer action or you know, such kind of encounters. So, of course, in these two cases, it hasn't been proven at all that these are extrajudicial killings. But politicians, you know, in a sense, championing this kind of instant action as justice, that's not justified.
No, well, absolutely. And I was very much on the streets when Nirbhaya Andolan happened, and I'm very well aware of the work that has been done by people like Ravi Kant and Rishi Kant. And, you know, I must tell you that people also demand instantaneous justice. And that is no justice at all. But we have to fix our systems. We have to ensure that there are reforms and that people do not have to wait for years. It took 32 years and it came to, in matter of Ajmer sex scandal and all the crimes that took place against little girls. And in the matter of Ram Singh, Mukesh Singh, this Nirbhaya matter, it took more than 8 years. After all the outrage, so there has something has got to give. So I think the solution is, of course, not this. This is no solution. But similarly, there has to be speedier trials, okay, better investigation, and yes, faster convictions.
You made an interesting point that very often we see people demanding instant action as well, particularly when we see outrage on the streets and protests. Bhavya Narasimha Murthy, you have a point, go ahead. But also, you know, how would you respond to this argument that when there is outrage and protest, perhaps many a time instant action or instant justice seems to be the only plausible solution in a country where conviction rate is so low and trials go on for decades?
No sane politician can hail these kind of instant justice. Whether it is bulldozer politics or this custodial deaths, if a politician really cares for the country, for his people, he cannot hail such thing. Because once you divert from the law, the system that is in place, what remains is anarchy. And I would like to, you know, respond to Shazia when she said that, you know, he was so fearful of the law that he committed suicide. Sorry, ma'am, if he was fearful of the law, he wouldn't rape in the first place. I don't think he's scared of law. He wouldn't rape a minor in the first place if he was fearful of the law. To say that, a chief minister to say that he has zero tolerance and then this extrajudicial deaths happen, this doesn't set a right precedent. Hmm. One thing. And yes, when there are protests, that's not how politicians should handle huge protest and uproar. If you remember, during Nirbhaya, that was one of the largest protests the world has seen.
Yes. Okay.
Ma'am, if you allow me to speak, because you took my name.
Okay. Shazia, I'll come back to you. But Harish Mohammed Ibrahim, the DMK spokesperson, would you concede that this is a failure of the police? I'll come back to you, Shazia. Harish Mohammed Ibrahim, go ahead.
No,
would you concede that this is, in a sense, a failure of the Tamil Nadu?
Here, I'm a political. Yeah. No, I'm not in any capacity as a spokesperson for any party. I'm here in my individual capacity.
Yes.
And first of all, it is not a polished custodial death. I reiterate again,
Absolutely.
This culprit who has been nabbed.
This is a death death after arrest. Yeah. Let's put it that way. Yes.
No. It is not even an arrest. The arrest was supposed to happen and he fled the instant where he was being supposed to be nabbed and he fell down and got a fracture. He was being directly taken to the hospital.
Okay, we seem to have a patchy network there with Harish Mohammed Ibrahim. Okay, we'll try and reconnect with you. But of course, as you're saying, this incident happened immediately after he was taken to the scene of crime. But it's also important to point out that Tamil Nadu police earlier also had said that he tried to commit suicide before the arrest as well. So perhaps the police could have been more mindful. Sanjay Sahai, yes, go ahead, Ibrahim.
Because the lady took my name.
Okay,
so
Shazia, go ahead.
I'm not aware of this particular matter, Medanta. I'm not aware. I don't know the details. And I'm saying if the fear of law is such that obviously they would not commit the crime. But sometimes the fear, only because they are going to get nabbed, makes them do certain things. This is what I was talking about. There is no way in custody deaths are at all justified. So I don't know the details of this matter.
Okay, Sanjay Sahai, as a former top cop, would you agree with that argument that the such deaths in custody, or perhaps if an accused or a convict, or an accused rather in this particular case, commits suicide, it's in a sense testament to the fear of law in the state? Would you agree with that argument?
No, once he is in the custody, certainly we will not agree to the fact that there is a fear of law. Because have this gentleman or this accused having committed the crime does not speak very high of the fear of law, yes, which is prevalent in society. That's point number one. Point number two, it is a prime duty of the police to arrest these guys in the best possible manner. There is no simple system of arrest, or there is not a single system of arrest. Depending on where the accused is, how we will find the accused, and the nature of nabbing him, that itself is both a science and art in itself, and our prime job is to get the person reasonably fine so that he is with the police and custodial interrogation happens till the time we fulfill all the evidence elicitation process.
Yes.
Sufficient enough to take it through the judicial process.
Okay, so that's an important point. And Ravi Kant, the last and word to you. Point. We were and speaking of protests, but when such deaths in custody happen, it also, in a sense, makes sure that the protests and the outrage is fizzled out as well. And that protest would have otherwise ensured real accountability.
Yes, we have to understand the mood of the nation. The nation and people at large and victims want justice and faster justice. That is what the Supreme Court has told. That is what the legislation tells. That is what all political parties commit to. But sadly, we are seeing very slow trials and long wait for justice. There are more than 2 lakh POXO cases pending across the country.
Yes.
It's a real shame. And we want that judiciary and the entire system, the law enforcement and the judiciary, should introspect and think that why should victims wait for justice for so long?
Yes.
And when there is so much outrage, people are angry, and still we see long trials, long delays, long wait for compensation. And it is time that judiciary, my major emphasis continues to be on judiciary.
Yes, I agree with you that judicial reforms and perhaps ensuring that there is, the cases are fast-tracked in the real sense of the term, that is the only solution as the outrage over crimes against women continue. Thanks all very much for being with us. I'm afraid I'll have to leave it there. We're running out of time on Left, Right and Center. Thanks all very much for being with us. Good night.